You're listening to the W Key Podcast, where skill is never a factor.
No,
I'm
fun.
Just W Key in this, dude.
I just know W Key keeps me moving.
W.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the W Key Podcast. Another episode number 11, first of the new year. Happy 2020 to everyone listening.
The doctor just called and they said I got great vision because I'm seeing 2020. All right, continue.
First horrible joke of the year out of the way.
Gotta start it off fresh.
Yes, of course you do. With you as always, my name is Josh. My brother, Matt, hey. Jay Frosty, Technique, respectively. We are your lovable hosts for this wonderful podcast. We bring it to you guys every other week, every other Wednesday. So be sure to subscribe, rate, review on Apple, iTunes, or any other podcast platform. Follow the show. All that stuff will be in the show notes at the description of the episode. So we'll just jump right in.
Yeah.
Ninja's not having a great 2020 so far.
Yeah,
well, a little bit of drift from 2019, the end of 2019. He's really slid into 2020 all that well.
Yeah, I don't know who put the haterade in his cup the past couple of weeks, but he's like just going back to who he truly is. I feel like he kind of rebranded to be family friendly and this and that, but past few weeks he just looks like he's going back to OG ninja style.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, at the very end, pretty much right around Christmas, he slid from 2019 into 2020 with some beefs. Right around Christmas, he got into a little bit of a spat with Dakotas, a Fortnite streamer, relatively big, I would say. I don't watch him all that much, but I do know he is.
He's got a
pretty good following. Yep. And he's relatively big in the Fortnite community and the streaming world as well. He got into a bit of a feud with Ninja, as a lot of Fortnite streamers do. Dakota's tweeted out, "This game is trash." A lot of people do that. Tfue's like the number one
big streamers that say this game is trash blows my mind. I'm like, well, then how is it so popular?
They're just, I get it. It's super popular, but the devs, there are a lot of problems that the devs still aren't fixing. They make a lot of changes. Well, recently they've made a lot of changes, I would say, that people aren't all that happy with, but that's not really, that's neither here nor there. But the idea really, DK, that's what people call him, DK, tweeted that out. And I think it got a lot of traction. And then Ninja kind of tweeted out like a response video, not responding directly to Dakotas, but kind of responding to Fortnite streamers, the Fortnite Twitter community as a whole. And he just kind of was like, hey, when you're big, when you're an influencer, big streamer, big influencer, and you have a lot of pull, it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do the community. It doesn't do the game any good to tweet out all this negative trash. Like, it's better to be positive, like stop being so toxic, yada, 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 yada. And I can't really speak for Dakotas because I'm not him, but I would say it sort of seemed, just the timing of how everything came out, it sort of seemed like it was directed at Dakotas.
Yeah.
Which it might have been, secretly, kind of hidden, direction.
He could have just fueled Ninja to make it just to be a wide sweeping thing for everyone. It could have just been like a fuel to the fire.
Exactly. And so, Ninja put that video out. And then a lot of people kind of jumped on it. A lot of people jumped on the whole tweet train. DK had some things to say back to Ninja about some counterpoints to that video. Even Tfue jumped in and kind of was shitting on Ninja a bit. He like took the picture of Ninja with his shoes, his shoes that he released, and then like photoshopped in like Hot Wheels kids shoes, which I think is hilarious. And Tfue's girlfriend Karina, she kind of got involved a little bit as well, and so there was all this storm around that video. And the whole idea is it spawned from essentially the Dakotas, like Ninja, Dakotas spawned the Ninja video. Dakotas responded to the Ninja video. Ninja kind of responded to Dakotas. And they kind of got into a little if Dakota's block ninja and kind of said something to the effect like, you know, I've got things I could expose. I just don't, blah, blah, blah. And then even Ninja's wife, Jess, got involved, which
wife from slash a personal, manager.
Yeah, exactly. Wife slash manager. I was going to say, from a personal standpoint, I can understand her wanting to jump in and defend her man.
Yeah, my man.
But as Adam, as her, as his manager, it's not a good move. Like, not at all.
No.
She kind of went off the, a little bit, you know, not too crazy, but I mean, as a manager of Ninja's, someone of Ninja's stature, like even just a little slip is too much, I think, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, they always say never mix, you know, business and family, because shit like this is bound to happen. And so that kind of all spun out of control. And then even, you know, of course, everyone's favorite internet drama troll, Keemstar jumped in and you know, he brought up some valid points. And, you know, this is all kind of Keem's initial opinion, but I second it and I agree with his, is that basically Ninja forgets that he's been toxic his whole career. Like, he started off incredibly toxic. He was always toxic. He loved being toxic. He just can't do it now.
I say, yeah, that's like I said before, like that's his OG mantra. That's what people originally know him for, is the toxicity. You know, the biggest clip or video or meme of him that most people can identify with is, you know, what the F did you say to me, little shit from back in H1Z1 days. That's people see that like, oh, that's Ninja. And by seeing that, that's basically that's his style in a nutshell. Then obviously when him getting bigger or whatnot, he made the decision to turn air quotes here family friendly, because I still feel like he's not doing a great job at being family friendly. But yeah, he's one of the most toxic person out there in the streaming community. So like him to, while I kind of agree with him, like, you know, bashing the hand that feeds you with Fortnite is probably not the best idea.
Exactly.
I agree with him there, but at the same time, it's like, Ninja, this is what you do a lot, have done a lot, is you, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen tweets from him saying, you know, this game's trash, it sucks, like this and that. Yeah, he's done it before himself. So,
oh yeah.
I understand thing, where he's coming from, but he is a culprit of doing the same exact thing too.
Yeah. And part of, you know, his video was, I've done it too, but I've learned from my mistakes. Like, he always tries to take the high road and act like he's some sort of like messiah to the streaming
exactly.
world.
I was just about to see that. He says stuff like he's the Jesus of streaming. Like, my children have done this, but I've learned. Now let me bestow upon you my knowledge. Come on, dude.
Yeah. It's like, you're not holier than thou. And like, this is not the only reason that I dislike Ninja, but this is one of the major reasons I dislike him. I think he's a hypocrite, first and foremost. Like, this is classic example of him being a hypocrite.
He calls out
Dakotas for being toxic, and it's like, dude, you are one of the most toxic people in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when it comes to gaming, you were one of the most toxic people. You still are. You just hide it better.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say as many things that are bad for, you know, the minus 18 crowd that he's somewhat catering to. But at the same time, like, you just look at his in-game presence, he's always like asking his teammates, yo, drop that for me. Like,
yeah, he's
I'm better.
Always
like,
blaming you know, he's his teammates and always
blaming like, his teammate. Up, he's always give like, that, give me that, this? Give me that. Like, I'm better. You know, or, like, he's got that. He doesn't
play with him.
He doesn't say that. Oh yeah. He doesn't necessarily say that, but he does. Like, that's,
he infers
that's
it.
The, yeah, I was gonna say, that's the insinuation by when he says things like that, is I'm better than you. You need to give me this. I'm carrying you. You're getting clout bumped, you know, from playing with me. So give me that sniper
like,
rifle.
Save me
like
from
that.
Being dead. It's like, oh, you're in a 1v4 situation? Yeah, just go res me, dude. Oh, they're all around you? No, res me. You're fine. Get me up. If you get me up, we will win this because I'm that good. That's basically whatever he says when he gets killed or knocked down or this or that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this whole situation really brings to light, is just how much of a hypocrite he is. And that's one of the major reasons why I don't like him.
Yeah,
I think he's very disingenuous. Like, being a hypocrite kind of goes along with being disingenuous. And I think that's one of the major reasons why I don't like him that much, is I think he is very disingenuous. He is a hypocrite.
Big time.
And he has changed who he is to maintain his fame and money. And I think people who are willing to do that, they're not very trustworthy from the beginning. Like, and that's my personal opinion. And, you know, I've never hit anything big and got super famous and rich, so I can't say that I wouldn't do something similar.
Yeah.
But just from the outside looking in, you know, because one of the things streaming, why streaming is usually, and following streamers, it gets so appealing to a lot of people, is because they relate to the streamer and they're like, this person's like me. They love video games. They like to play video games. They get attached to who the person was. And then if they blow up and get bigger, you always see it. Older fans, you know, people who have been on the channel for a long time, they always start to hate the streamer because they start flexing the money that they've gotten. And part of that is sort of inherent. You're going to get more money. You're going to want to buy nicer things or have nicer things. And so part of that's on the fan realizing that. But at the same time, you know, how much you change is also within your own control. And I feel like Ninja's changed a lot, basically, in order to cater to the fans that he has and keep the fame that he has. And I just, I think that's a greasy, slimy thing in my mind. And
I mean,
that's part of the reason why I don't like it.
Yeah, that's why, like, I was a huge Tim fan when he played Overwatch, loved him because he was racking up viewers and this and that. He's famous, but he just acted like a normal dude who's playing some games. And then when he started playing Fortnite with Ninja, he started to change a little bit. And that's my kind of, went off them, you know, start posting. I hate people who post their sub number, like their sub count.
Yeah.
You know, people, I don't know why people in chat ask for it all the time. They do it. Oh, what's the sub count? Like, why? Why does it matter? So I hated when people start posting that. He started putting that up. He's kind of coming back around now. He's has no sub count up. He's, you know, back to, he plays Overwatch now and he plays more games than just Fortnite. But that's, yeah, I agree with all that. When people get big, I hate how it can possibly change them. And I saw that happen with Tim a little bit. He's kind of coming back, but yeah, Ninja definitely, he hit it big and he's kind of changed a little bit himself too.
Yeah. And so that, you know, that was that first, and like, this isn't the end of it either.
Sorry, that's, like we said, that's Ninja that
this
episode
is,
one.
This is what happened. This, yeah, this is part one. This is what
there's
happened
still
in 2019.
To come of him.
I know. Right. And so this is what happened in the end of 2019. And then basically, you know, that kind of, that went away. That, you know, everyone had their, you know, internet, you know, 24-hour fucking news cycle. Oh my God, they all freaked out over that.
Yeah, it's nothing huge that's going to last for
exactly.
Like, oh, ooh, okay, bye.
It's just, everyone has their opinions on it. And, you know, we wouldn't be doing the show justice if we didn't mention it, because it took over Twitter for a little while.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the second thing that kind of happened more recently, I think it was like the second, so, like the day after New Year's, was Thursday, I think it was. Ninja was playing with Tim, Nate Hill, and Reverse 2K. And Ninja and Reverse 2K play competitive duos with each other, and they do have a very brotherly relationship. Like, they shit on each other and they kind of nag at each other a lot. Yeah. But it does always kind of, sometimes it does always tick a little too high, a little into that cringy, uncomfortable zone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another prime example of that.
Big time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was watching it. Hey, I had to turn it off.
See, I was watching,
it was so bad. I was watching Tim's channel and just watching Tim's face. I like muted it. I couldn't listen. I was like, oh God, this is like max level cringe to literally like, probably like 100,000+ people, because Tim had maybe 20, I'm sure. Well, actually probably not 100, maybe like 70 at most. Cause
yeah,
you know, Tim probably had like 20, you know, Ninja maybe had 15, you know, Reverse 2K, Nate Hill, maybe another 15 combined. So maybe like 50,000, but it's like so many people just experienced the most utter cringe at the same time. So I had to mute it. I was just, oh, and so anyways, basically what happened. So the four of them are playing. They're all kind of talking, like, I don't know how well anyone knows the other two streamers, Nate Hill and Reverse 2K. They're younger. They haven't been streaming as long as Tim and Ninja have. And so Tim was mentioning something about, he was joking around about paying taxes or something like that. And, you know, Tim kind of flexed, saying like, oh, I've been streaming for a decade. And he wanted
like
Reverse.
Ninja have.
Yeah,
like
him and Ninja both
in
stream for a decade.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, Nate Hill, he was like, Nate and, you know, Reverse, you guys really should respect us or something along that line. Like,
well, like,
he was,
I just
all joking.
Say, like, yeah, Tim was very jokingly saying
it. It was
and
all.
And then Ninja's got to jump in and.
And I mean, Ninja was joking. Yeah, Ninja was joking from the beginning. So he was joking at first. So yeah, Tim was joking like, oh yeah, we've been streaming for a decade. You got to show your elders some respect. And then Ninja jumped in. And even though he was joking, his comment still is a douchey comment. And again, another reason why I don't really like him.
When he tries a joke, it's like, this is the way he says things are so D-bag style. It's like, I understand what you're trying to do, but man, why would you say it like that?
Yeah, exactly. I feel that way too. Like, I get what you're trying to say, and I get you're trying to make a joke, but he just says it in the most like fucking douche nozzle way ever. And
he,
so anyway,
he says it like he wants to act like he's joking, but he's not really joking. So he says it that way. So that's how I feel. Like, he's not joking. Yeah. He legit means what he says sometimes.
Oh yeah. So basically he weighed in on what Tim's comment was, and he just said, you know, there's no reason for them to respect younger streamers because they don't have respect for the younger streamers don't have respect for the older streamers. And again, in his mind, I think it meant to come out as a joke, but I think he also meant some truth with it, because he is a douche and he says things like that. And then, you know, 2K kind of came back like, you know, Ninja was insinuating that they were trying to take territory. They were, you know, they were trying to take the younger streamers are trying to take territory from the older streamers.
Well, because like,
is
I think
sort of true.
Yeah, Reverse like responded like, this was, you can tell Reverse was joking because like, this makes no sense. Like, oh no, the older streamers should pay respect to the younger ones, or said something along those lines. And I'm like, that to me, he didn't mean it. That it's like, oh yeah, he's joking, haha. Because why should older streamers have to pay respect to newer ones?
Yeah.
And then continue.
And then, you know, he was sort of in, you know, insinuating, like, you know, because they are, you know, the whole taking territory. I mean, realistically, everyone's trying to take viewers from everyone.
Everyone's trying
like,
to
that's
take
the whole point of the game
everyone.
is eyes, is getting eyes, getting more views. So realistically speaking, they are trying to take viewers. And if you can look at viewers as sort of as territory.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, Ninja kind of insinuated that they were trying to take territory from the older streamers. And then Reverse 2K was kind of like, hey man, like it was joking, like, hey man, easy. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm not coming to Mixer. And Ninja fucking tweaked.
Yeah.
Holy shit. He went off like a fucking child too. So I've talked basically about two things I don't like about it. This is a third thing. He has no control over his emotions. Like, he's that selfish, spoiled kid. You say something that he doesn't like and he is going to freak out. It makes my skin crawl just thinking about it now. It was so cringy. Like, oh, what the fuck? Why did you mention Mixer? There was no reason to mention Mixer there. Like, you didn't have to mention it. Why did you mention it? You're trying to jab at me. You're trying to insinuate that my move to Mixer was a bad idea, which a little bit
I haven't seen evidence before, but he says like, He says like, oh, Reverse is always bringing up Mixer. Like, he's always saying it. So he's obviously thinking that my move was a mistake. Like, I haven't seen any prior clips of Reverse saying any jab. So could be false, could not be false. Could obviously, like I said, they're Fortnite duo partners. So obviously there's plenty of conversation going on between the two. There's plenty of time for them to, you know, mention Mixer and the move and whatnot. So could be said,
And so this is where Dr. Josh is going to put his non-medical psychology degree that he doesn't have to work. People who lash out like that, generally speaking, from my experience, who lash out about something like that and link it to an issue like that, like his decision to move to Mixer, probably secretly think deep down that it was a mistake. That's my two cents on it.
So he
went so fast. What, you think my move to Mixer was a mistake? He probably thinks
even
it
Nate
was a
Hill,
mistake.
Like, they're talking about Nate Hill. He's like, I don't think it goes that deep. Like,
Well,
he keeps like, why are you talking about Mixer? Why are you talking about Mixer? And Nate's like, I don't think it goes that deep.
Exactly.
Which it doesn't. Like, I 100% like, agree with what Reverse said. It was just kind of just funny. He's just like, you know, Ninja's like, oh, everyone's taking our space, taking this, taking that. I mean, Ninja's space is Mixer. Reverse is on Twitch. So
exactly.
It's just like, hey man, don't worry, I'm not coming to Mixer. It's very logical. There's no like out of bounds jab at like, I'm not coming to like the bad platform. Like if he said something like along those lines, like, oh, I'm not going to the little brother or this or that, but he just said, I'm not coming to Mixer. I'm not coming to where your territory is. I'm not coming to where you do your work. It's very logical connection. There's nothing in saying that makes me think, oh, he's jabbing at him. He's jabbing at him. Ninja just instantly looking for a way to reach out and react and blow his lid. Cause like you said, he possibly could regret it now. So he just, loses his lid as soon as he can. But
yeah. And then the way he went about the whole art. I mean, he's like I said, very childish. He blew his lid like a child. He just kept pushing the issue like a child. You know, he's like, yeah, if you apologize to me, I'll let it go completely. Like, apologize. And reverse, like, no, man, like, no, he's not apologizing.
Like, he Ninja's saying, like, I'll apologize to you if you tell me what you meant by bringing up Mixer.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
He's like, tell me why. Why'd you bring it up? That's exactly what he's saying too. Over and over again. It was like, annoying.
Oh, and you could just watching Tim's face was like hilarious.
Get me out of here.
And everyone in Tim's chat was just like cringe. Oh, it was so bad watching.
Classic cringe. Oh,
makes my fucking skin crawl thinking about it right now. Cause I just like, I'm not necessarily a person who hates confrontation. It's just, I hate when people make a big deal out of something that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like what Reverse said was not a big deal.
No.
Like you, how you put it. The comment was, you're taking our territory. And Reverse was just joking. Like, I'm not coming to Mixer. I'm not taking your territory. It's a very logical connection. It's not a jab at all. And Ninja just went fucking off the handle. It makes me fucking.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't, that wasn't even Ninja's first time being very Ninja-esque in that stream. So before that even happened,
I was saying, I didn't see this part. See,
I was watching this. As soon as I tuned in, this is what I got going on. I was like, wow, it's gonna be one of those days. So I was watching, is just Tim and Ninja just duoing, and so they're on the subject. So as you know, Ninja's a huge Detroit Lions fan. Tim's a big Cowboys fans, and the Cowboys had a very underwhelming season, one would say. So everyone in Cowboys
underwhelming is an understatement.
Everyone in the Cowboys camp is like calling for them to fire their head coach, Jason Garrett. Like, do it. Ninja made the comment something along the lines of like, yo, Tim, we have some pretty big pull here where, you know, we're big names out there. People know who we cheer for, root for. If you threaten, like, this, his whole idea in a nutshell is just terrible in general. Throw that out there real quick. He's like, if we threaten to stop cheering for, you know, our said respected teams, maybe we can sway the public to get on board, and that public opinion will then work its way up to general managers and whatnot to make the decision to fire said head coach or said personnel or this or that. And Tim didn't really, you know, take to or anything like that, but I didn't see, but his Ninja's chat must've just been going off on him. Cause I wasn't in Ninja's channel, so I had no idea what was said, but I was watching Tim and it was just every 2 seconds, Ninja just yelling as chat, Who just said on this? Oh, what do you mean? Why don't think the blah, 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 just yelling irately at his chat. And even Tim, I've never seen this like before in my life of like a streamer kind of on stream saying to another streamer, like, calm down, you're going to get memed. They're just trying to get on your butt. Even Tim was like, Ninja, yo, calm down. This chat just trying to get to you. You need to calm down. He like straight up said, you need to stop, because he was just going off on his chat. And I was like, oh my.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
As soon as, like I said, that's the first thing I saw when I tuned in, like, oh, so we're getting old school Ninja for some reason today.
I know. And it just, that whole like that whole exchange just kind of reiterates like his thought that he is more important than he actually is.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. You guys are big in the gaming world. You're not going to influence whose business is to run a sports team to fire someone. Oh, this streamer's not going to like my team no more. We got fired.
Jason Garrett did get fired, so.
Yeah, but he should have gotten fired.
I know that was just the right
That's the right choice to make
for the sports team. I just think like Ninja's so full of himself. He's so caught up in the shtick that he's selling, the idea that he's as famous as he thinks he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's just so caught up in I don't want to say lie, because he is big. He's a big influential person.
He's definitely big, but he's not as big as he was when he was blown up. He's much down to the level of everyone else. Like, he still thinks he's a top dog, but he's right back into the pack.
Yeah. And so I just think he still thinks he's on an echelon higher than everyone, but he realistically, I mean, with Doc's TV deal, like we mentioned this a couple episodes ago, with Doc getting that TV deal, I would say that puts Doc way over Ninja. Like, Ninja didn't get a fucking TV deal. He was on some TV shows.
Yeah.
And he was on some like late night shows, and he was on that
movie
fucking
cameo too coming up. Yeah. Like that Ryan Reynolds movie or something like that.
And then he was on like the Mass Dancer or Mass Singer show. And it's like, those are big, but like if Doc gets a show, like multiple, you know, he's going to get multiple episodes, obviously, potentially multiple seasons. Like, that is a much more sustained level than a couple quick hitting late night appearances here and there and that. So it's like, and that would put him over Ninja in like a heartbeat, assuming that it's received well, it gets renewed and things like that. So yeah, he's not to that level that he thinks he is still on.
He keeps getting all these apparel deals. Like Nike made those shoes for him, and he has a bunch of Nike
Adidas.
Or Adidas. He got a bunch of. Yeah. He's got a big thing Adidas going on, which you know keeps him plenty afloat. But
the problem with that is like you know they could have penned those deals like a year ago.
Yeah,
you know,
when it could he have was taken huge.
It could have taken a year to finalize the designs, produce them, all that stuff. And the sales will tell. Like if they sell great, you know, yeah, he's still big. And yeah. I don't deny the fact that he's still big.
Saying like a lot of stuff are selling out, so they are still selling good. But
and so I don't deny the fact that he's a big streamer still. I just he's not.
Yeah, no,
he's
not
that level that he thinks he is.
Yeah.
So so that whole NFL thing is just ridiculous in my mind. I think it just shows how full of himself he is. And
yeah, he's like I can make my team do this or that. Like, no, one man. Like, there's plenty of, you know, famous people, like actors, actresses. You know, like Mark Wahlberg's a huge Pats fan. You don't see him out.
And they can't make changes.
You don't see him out here trying to be like, I'm going to boycott these guys so I can get what I want. And it's like, dude, Ninja is much more below Wahlberg. So it's like, Ninja, you're big, but you're not going to be like, all right, Detroit, do this or else I'm not going to watch it anymore.
Ninja's Ninja's even way below Donnie Wahlberg, the less famous Wahlberg brother. So yeah, I just think it's funny. I mean, it hasn't been a good end to the year, end to 2019, start to 2020, and I feel like this kind of goes back to like before Ninja made the jump to Mixer, he was sort of like this. He seemed like he was hating all his streams. Like,
yeah,
like I get being
him, he seemed very down.
Like I get being in a rut and like, it's possible he's just in a rut and sure. And things are getting under his skin. I get that. You know, one has to beg the question, like how much streamers like Tim and Lupo getting deals from Twitch, how much does that bother him? You know, did he switch thinking that Twitch was never going to adopt that model? Like,
I mean,
you can't have done that because you got to know if you're going to be the first one to jump for a multi-million-dollar deal and once you start the flow that possibility is on the table that other platforms will pay streamers big money to go to their platforms. You got to realize that Twitch was going to follow suit soon.
I mean,
and so
I'm sure he got plenty of cash from Xbox.
Oh, I'm sure he did too.
Worry about it. But yeah, it's probably still
it's possible. I mean, because he lost, I would assume, like Shroud, like we mentioned in the last episode, how Shroud lost a lot of his viewers.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ninja lost a good chunk of his viewers.
Oh,
so
sure.
I wonder.
I think I check on him every now and then and I see him around, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 people where Twitch was like 30 plus, usually.
Sometimes,
20,
yeah.
20, 30.
Well, I would say he's in the high teens, low 20s pretty frequently, Jesus, what's the word I'm looking for?
You said frequently, often?
Yeah, but I meant more like standard.
Regularly?
Yeah, regularly. There we go. Come on, brain. It's a Sunday afternoon work.
Let's say. Our sports team lost. Boo, I'm a big streamer with my like two viewers. I'm going to boycott and get the Patriots.
I've got a really successful podcast, and I'm going to tell everyone on the podcast to boycott the Patriots.
Yeah. I don't hate them.
Exactly. So yeah, I wonder if that's bothering him. You know, I wonder if he didn't think that was going to happen. And now that it has happened, like one, he's asinine for thinking that it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Two, now that it's happening and they got their big deals and their viewership is still good.
Now his friends get to keep money and his viewers.
And so I wonder if that's kind of bothering him.
And back to,
cause all the points, you know, the whole spat with Reverse, I would say, you know, like I said, from my professional psychological opinion, like a lot of that connects, you know, that train of thought does connect. You know?
Or even I can't see Ninja as much as he'll probably say and congratulate his friends. He just, to me, well, I don't like him. He seems like the type of person who just is fuming. Like he can't be happy for his friends. Yeah. Like they're his good friends, but I can see them being like him being like, oh, congrats. But behind his, you know,
this
fake mask, he's like, what the fuck, god damn it. I just don't see him actually being genuinely happy for his friends.
I sort of agree with that as well. I would say that's probably a good bet. So, yeah, I just think, I don't know. You know, he, like I said, he might be in a little funk. Everybody gets in a funk. You know, we get in funks in our full-time jobs. His full-time job just happens to be streaming in front of thousands of people on a regular basis. So yep. The funk's going to look a little different. The funk's going to consist of different tendencies, different, you know, doing different things. And right now, what he's doing is just a little bit on the side of hurting his brand rather than helping his brand, I think. And so you got to keep and that's the problem. You know, you always got to keep that in mind. And back to what you said about Tim, you know, being, you know, the first time you've really ever seen a streamer be like, yo, man, calm down. Like, I feel like Tim's got it in hand really good. Like, everyone knows Twitch chat's going to be there to try to get
his
skin.
Is one of the most trolly ones too. And he never loses his mind. So
and that's a fact. Yeah, exactly. And so like, that's a really good trait you have to have essentially. If you're going to be a big streamer like that, is you got to realize they're going to try to troll you and you just got to be like, all right, man, cool. And you roll with the punches.
Yeah.
So,
part three of Ninja Takes the L is his stream room just got kicked in the dick by Nick Merck's stream basement.
I didn't even think of that. Like, I didn't even really connect those two.
Well, because I was thinking, I saw Ninja like tweeted something like, oh, wow, Nick Merck's stream. This reminds me. I think a lot of people were comparing Nick Merck's stream room to Ninja's stream room. And I think Ninja pulling his classic Ninja got salty because his tweet was like, yo, congrats to Nick Merck's stream basement, and basement was all caps. He's like, definitely beats mine. So I think he's being kind of mad at people. Like, his is a basement, mine's a room. Blah, 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 blah. So you can't compare the two. Blah, 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 blah. So that's why I was thinking about Ninja taking the L.
That's true.
That's him congratulating his friend, kind of ish. I don't know if they're friends.
Well, they're sort of friends, but they
had feuds back in the Halo tournament days. I know, like, their stories about Nick Merck's legit fight Ninja one time.
Yeah, he was like, meet me outside. I'll beat your ass. Yeah. And Ninja's like, what? No. What are you talking about? Talks big on stream.
That's another,
online, and then,
another Ninja congratulating, air quotes here again, folks, congratulating a fellow streamer on their achievements, but not actually meaning it at all.
Yeah. And so this pretty much took over the internet, Twitter, YouTube for like the whole day. But Nick Merck's, you know, I don't even know where he lives.
He's in Michigan now, isn't it?
He's a Michigan man.
Yeah, he moved back home.
He loves his old Michigan football team, college football team. And so he moved back to Michigan. He's, you know, like you imagine from someone as successful as he does, he's got a nice house. And he had mentioned like a long time ago, like about a year ago, probably, like wanting to do this and that and like make a room in his basement where like he's got like setups so like his buddies can come over and they can LAN, or if like he has friends, you know, they can stream.
Yeah.
And he made it happen. And so basically he turned his basement. I know exactly. He turned his basement into a streaming basement. Exactly. You know, exactly what you mentioned earlier. And you know, he's got his, he's got his massive like dope setup, and a kind of a step back from that. I just think it's still funny. And you watch that YouTube video, he's like, yeah, my current setup, it's like, I got a monitor on like a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah. He's on like one of those plastic ping pong.
Yeah.
Like,
he's like, I'm using a folding table from college. I'm like, millions of dollars and you cobbled together this piece of shit setup. Like, I can't believe
mine is better than his. And
I know. And so it's like, it's just funny to see all that shit. And it's so true. They mentioned something about the camera setup because now it's like, now all you see is Nick's five head. Because it's all,
we're going to put the camera here so you can't see his forehead anymore, is what his contractor said. And I was like, oh my God, it's hilarious.
I loved it. I was dying. I was like, oh, it's so true. Because it's all, like, when he gets into it and playing,
yeah,
it's all his fucking forehead. Yeah, it's so funny. He's got his, like, it's crazy. It's like, this is some shit out of the future. Like, you walk in, he walks into his room.
I knew it was going to be big dick when we set up an automatic like sliding door thing that looks
like the door to
the Enterprise. I'm like, okay, so this thing's going to be fucking all money in here.
Oh my God. So yeah, the automatic door, you walk in, automatic fucking door, it opens like you can just imagine like walking onto the deck of the Enterprise. You know, you walk in, he's got a massive TV, a giant like L couch, and then like a built-in like fire, you know, gas fireplace. Cause it's like is he married? Is this his wife? I think he's married.
I think they're engaged. Wife. I don't know. It's something. It's very serious.
Long-term girlfriend, probably slash wife slash fiance possibly. you know, he's like, yeah, she likes to watch me, you know, stream a lot. She likes to just be a part of it. So he made, you know, he made that area, the lounge area, yeah, so one, obviously for him, and two, so she can hang out with the animals, watch. The massive TV is connected directly to his computer.
Straight to his computer, which is baller. Yeah. I was like, that's a good idea.
Exactly. So she can watch lag free, no latency.
It's connected straight to his OBS.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. And then, you know, he's got his respawn fridge, which has got this crazy, it's like it got a screen built into it.
Yeah.
And so like when you walk up to it, like the respawn logo like pops up and it's fucking
I will
awesome.
Say how like the place is very expensive, but that whole the fridge and the section of four computers where his friends in game, I'm pretty sure that's all just paid for by sponsors. So I don't think
I think he got a lot of that for free. Yeah.
Costs a lot. Like, there's a lot there, but I don't think it goes towards the total because I think it's all just donated by sponsorships.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, yeah, and his contractor or the person who designed it was like, oh, yeah, NVIDIA was nice enough to send us over four 2080 Ti's. I was like, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, they have four. So, folks, they have a gaming station for, like, his friends or whatnot. It's four computers, all with 2080 Ti's, all with, like, Alienware or something, 240 hertz gaming monitors. Yep.
They've all got NZXT computers that they sent it's them, just like, with, all like, 9900Ks.
Area, yeah. Just a decked out area for his buddies to come hang, chill, game.
And there's cameras throughout the whole place, so you can get a bunch of different camera angles, which is cool. The ceiling in the area, it looks like a night sky, so it's all stars. And the crazy thing about that, it's all individual fiber optics. So someone had to sit there
and run all those
fiber optic cables. I was like, and they had to do it. They took a picture of the night sky and they had to put it up there and poke. So
holes,
oh my God. Just the amount of time that someone had to spend doing that just blows my mind. And it's like, I mean, it looks, the fucking room looks awesome. But the basement, it
there's
looks
also
sweet.
Just waterfall in there, folks, too. Just, you know, I don't know why, but just here, I have cash.
Let's have
a waterfall going on.
Yeah. And so you told me you had heard possibly like a $200,000 price tag, I think. And that, like you mentioned, you know, since a lot of that stuff, a lot of the gear was donated, I think it's just $200,000 just for the room and like all the labor and all that stuff, setting everything up. So,
I mean, and they also I don't know why, but does he have like, does his house get broken into or anything like that? Cause I'm pretty sure he has like a security dedicated like PC there too. So he can watch cameras around his house and shit like that too.
I don't think he's been broken.
He's just very,
I think he just very like, cautious. Just wants to be cautious.
Yeah. Just wants to, have it locked down because he does have, I mean, he's showing off this amazing basement to the world, so obviously he's probably expecting shit to possibly go down. So.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's got a huge suite of security and it all comes down to,
that crane arm, he has like a crane arm coming down from ceiling holding a massive like 32 plus inch curved monitor for like chat, I'm pretty sure, or just chat or something like that. It's just, when I saw I'm like, oh, how's that monitor mounted? And I see just crane arm coming down from the ceiling. Oh, that's how it is. It's nuts, folks. Go take a look. It's
The video. So it's funny because like we tweeted out a meme, tweeted and put a meme on our Instagram. And cause it's complete and he put that video out, but him and Tim, that big flex for the two of them, they're going down to Florida for 6 months.
Yeah.
Cause they're both kind of looking into potentially
Florida
buying houses
the
down there.
Winter season up here.
Yeah. And so they're both going down to Florida Tim's going until May, I think. And then, but I think Nick's going to be down there for about 6 months. And so Nick's like, yeah, I'm going to wait until I get back. And I'm like, how the fuck do you resist? Like, that man's got some iron willpower.
Is that what he means by get back? Is like after his, is he, that's where he is right now? See, I thought he was like gone somewhere for a quick sec and he's going
to
be back.
No, he's in Florida. I think he's in Florida.
I would fly up
now
to use that thing in a heartbeat.
Cause he was like, he streamed for 2 days before they went down.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I released that video. He's like, I could have streamed in it for the next couple days.
He was there like showing it like, in the room, like pointing like this and that.
And he's like, but I don't know if I wanted to like stream and then get addicted to this room and then I'd never leave. And he's like, but I got to go to Florida.
I don't know how, man. I would freaking, I think this man has like a truck. He grew up in Michigan. Like, how are you not used to snow? Like, I understand not wanting to deal with it, but come on, dude.
People get used to snow, but when they get the money and they get the ability to get away from snow, that's when they get sick of it.
Yeah, but like, I would get away from the snow because I don't have a freaking 200K streaming room. But if I had a 200K streaming basement, I would
give a shit what the outside looks like. Yeah,
freaking jack the heat up because I got the money to pay for the heating bill. Crank the heat up. Get me freaking heated walkways. Driveways, this, that, heated freaking tires on my car.
Delivery, food delivered to you all the time. Like, you don't really have to leave your house in this day and age.
You can make it so you don't have to deal with the snow at all.
Exactly.
Especially if your job is a work from home job, basically. You don't got to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's, you know, there's a couple things in this whole kind of conversation around the room. It's like, one, him and Ninja kind of, I don't know if it's going to become a trend. You know, but they're kind of starting a possible trend of like streamers flexing their big streamers flexing their money, building these massive rooms. Doc's been doing it for years, but it's all CGI. Like when you actually see a picture of where he actually streams, it's just some desk in the corner of his basement
with like a million green screens right now because Tim redid his air quotes getting here, folks. Tim redid his room again. All he really did is like put down new flooring and put up shelves, and that's about it. And it's just
but then Doc's jab at him because it made him look everyone made the called room him look like smaller.
Harry Potter and like Tim streaming under the staircase, this and that. Yeah. So it's like we talk about becoming a trend. It's like, well, we have Ninja who made his, and then Tim made his, and then then Nick Merckx made his, and it's just like Tim did kind of make one, but he didn't really do much to it, and it's just the same thing.
I wonder who might be the next big streamer to redo it.
Yeah, just
like if you look at Lupo's setup, it's such a disaster. I feel like on camera, the way the room looks on camera looks good, obviously. But then if you ever see pictures that he's like posted of like, cause it's in his basement as well.
Yeah.
He's posted pictures from like the stairs. Well, cause
that's also that's newish too. Like before Ninja even made his stream room, I remember Lupo's social media feed was like him making that area
for
himself.
And it's still kind of a disaster.
Yeah. But I feel like that's
a moniker. I feel like that's a badge of like a rite of passage for streamers. It's like it looks so high tech and fancy and like neat on stream, but then you look at it and they're just gamers like the rest of us, and the shit just is messy like crazy.
Make it look good
on
camera, but
I feel like that's a requirement. And but they're, you know, Nick and Ninja are just kind of blowing that out of the water by making these fucking fancy rooms. Everything's RGB'd, everything's lit up like crazy. Yeah. Everything is TVs and fucking cameras everywhere. So I think it's crazy. I mean, it's awesome.
Maybe a little
bit
too much sometimes, but hey, you got the cash.
Yeah.
You grinded this hard, you can treat yourself.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we mentioned it in our first episode. Like, what would you do if you got a ton of money? Or not our first episode,
$1 to $2 million.
And it's like, what would you do with all that money? And both of us were like, our answers are stream area. Yeah. And so they're doing it.
Everyone has the same mindset. Gamers have the same mind. Like I would love to just have my own, forget building an entire basement. I would just love to have my own room to freaking game.
Oh yeah. Just a room.
Living room and
just
exposed. And if I'm loud, my wife can hear me. She's like, stop being loud. I'm like, sorry. But I just love to have my own room in general. That's all I'd go for.
It'd be so awesome. So Nick, you know, big ups on Nick. You know, that's a big W there for Nick. Like, that room's going to be dope. I can't wait to watch when he gets back.
It's going to be nuts.
I think, you know, because he's got a great personality. And I think with all those different cameras, he could do a lot of different things. Yeah. Like, you know, if he's doing a stream, like, you know, hey, I'm doing a fun stream. Like, anytime I die, I do like 50 pushups, because he's big into fitness too. So like, he could hit that camera and do pushups. Like, he could do a lot of things.
I was surprised he didn't have like gym equipment built in somewhere into that.
I know.
But I go, all right, and here's you tap this
door and a fucking weight room pops out of the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you know, it's a big W for him. I think it's awesome. You know,
big W for Tarkov is,
yeah, I was gonna
people
say
people are streaming the shit out of it right now on Twitch.
Yeah. And so we talked a little bit about Tarkov in the last episode with Shroud, because Shroud, you know, we could mention Shroud has had a big dip in his viewership. You kind of mentioned in the last episode, like, hey, you know, he's streaming Tarkov a lot. Tarkov's not really that big of a game. Like, a lot of people don't really watch it. But recently, you know, I don't know how. So I don't know if Battlestate Games kind of reached out to the streamers and was like, hey, you know, we're going to do this, or if like just solid word of mouth, like friends, like streamer friends together kind of convinced, you know, people to play. But it kind of started like last week. Doc, I think, was one of the first. Well, besides Lupo and like Sacriel,
always playing
Kong Pan and Co Carnage started playing it a lot too. But like, you know, from what I would say, like, quote unquote, big streamers, as far as like the ones that like a lot of people, a lot of non-gamers might know.
Yeah.
Doc started streaming Tarkov like Wednesday, Thursday, maybe. And he was 50K, like the whole stream. Just like,
I didn't know. Like, I was watching him, and I looked down, I'm like, oh shit, this man's up to 50K right now. He's
exactly. So 50K watching Doc play Tarkov, like, you know, does that kind of begs. And so there's some caveats with this, obviously. So it kind of begs, like, are Shroud's numbers more of a representation of the Switch in platform rather than the game he's playing? Or is it just he's been, because I haven't really watched him recently to see if his numbers have gotten a boost while playing Tarkov as well. But, you know, can you look at it and say like, oh, you know, this dip in viewership, you know, even as Tarkov is popping right now, and if his viewership is still down, then you can kind of make the link that the drop in viewership is due to the change in platform. So, you know, that's kind of one thing. Like, the minute I saw Doc hit 50K, I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is going to be really telling for Shroud if he's still low, like on his average views every stream. If he's still lower, that's really telling that it was strictly due to the change in platform.
See, so I think that the dip is still kind of mainly based on the game, because like the numbers we took talking about the dip was for his stream of entirety of November, because we were talking about this. We talked about this in December, so the numbers are obviously from the month before. So November was a dip. Tarkov was not really on anyone's radar, and then another. So then, like, Tarkov is big right now. It's what, 1st of January or the 5th of January? So it's the beginning of January. Well, I was thinking the first month of the new year. But Tarkov is huge right now. So obviously, November is like 2 months ago. So no one really was watching it. And then the second part of it, I really think the big part of the pickup in viewership. So to answer your question, so drops are on Tarkov, which means if you watch your favorite streamer, you can get in-game loot, like you'll get random items. It could be something baller, it could be something generic. But I think
drops, I was watching Tim and I didn't get any.
Really, I keep getting notification like, "Hey, link your account and get drops," because I don't have Tarkov down at all, so I don't have an account, so I can't. So I'm just like, stop telling me this. I don't care. But so drops, you can get items, and I think that's massive because this game's all about like getting loot and getting cool shit out alive and having cool stuff. So if you can get some baller AR or some baller armor by just watching a streamer you enjoy, why not at least just leave a tab open and go do whatever you want to do? So I think the huge boost in viewership is due to these drops. And I assume these drops are only a Twitch thing. I don't think Mixer does anything like this. So
yeah,
I think.
Well, and they ended yesterday.
Oh, really?
Or they're ending today. They're ending drops.
I mean,
today.
Back to your point about seeing if Shroud's viewers have gone up now that people are big in it on Twitch. I doubt they have gone up, because I really think a lot of this is to do with the drops, because people really want free stuff. And then to answer, you kind of asked a question about like, you don't know how the drops kind of work or came up. Like, you have to, they must have had conversation with streamers. Like, to get drops enabled on your channel, you have to in touch with the game company itself. So I'm assuming they must have kind of been talking here or there about it.
I would imagine,
before drops came out.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I really think, personally, it looks like a fun game to play, because it kind of, like, you know, you really want that hardcore version of a shooter. This is it. This is like fucking, I was watching Lupo explain it, how you can like, you can get killed by your own bullet. You can shoot your gun. It can ricochet off someone's helmet. If the game, like, you know, if you shoot someone in the head and their helmet has good ricochet, the game will roll, you know, numbers, do some generating. And if their helmet deflects the bullet, it can ricochet, come back, kill you, kill your teammate, do this, do that. You can shoot a gun. You can shoot your gun. It can hit like something hard, like a brick wall or not. Your gun, your bullet can then shatter, and fragments of that shattered bullet can then hit you, hit your enemy, hit your teammate. I'm just like, holy shit, this shit is in depth and intense. So
yeah, because they do it with grenades too.
Yeah, the grenades, like it has certain amount of numbers that will, like every single, if it has 150, I can't remember what they call it in the game, but
they're particles essentially.
Yeah. If it has 150 particles, the game's tracing 150 different like lines of shit coming out of this thing that can hit you all together.
For people who don't know, that's how grenades work in real life.
Yeah, like true. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's how they work.
The ripples of the grenade are filled with like little beads. And so it's never the, like in every game you play, you're led to believe that it's a concussive explosion that kills you, which is true. If you're right there, the concussion of the explosion can kill you.
But it's the pellets coming out of it that can also shred you.
In most situations, it's a lot of the times it's the pellets. Yeah, the pellets will shred.
So finishing my, I guess, quick thought is game looks really fun to play, but just play, because it was pretty fucking boring to watch myself personally. It's like, I understand what they're doing, but there's like, most of the time is sitting there like, okay, there's a guy up there. Stop moving. Be quiet. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like do this. So like, to me, I can only think the increased viewership is, I guess, kind of two things. One, it's the drops are bringing a lot of people in because people want free shit in this game. Two, the drops are making big name people stream the game. So the people who are dedicated to this streamer, like, you know, Doc and Tim have dedicated viewers, so they'll watch them play anything. So I feel like the increases do the drops and do those people who just have a very loyal fan base. As soon as, like you said, if the drops are done today, I'm very interested to see
the numbers.
Like obviously, like the Doc and Tim both say they like the game, so they will possibly keep playing it, but it'll be interesting to see how many people stay just because they like watch the game / a streamer, and how many people stay or were there because there are drops. You know, no more drops, no more people. So it'll be interesting to see.
No, for sure it will be. I've played a few games. The game is fun. It's enjoyable, but it can be very frustrating as well, because it is very realistic. And it's like a couple things, you know, from a noob standpoint, like, you know, there's a couple of tweaks I think that I would make. And I get that Battlestate Games, you know, they're trying to go real hardcore. And so I don't think they would want to make these changes, because I don't think they want to soften it up for people. But I think like one of the biggest critiques I would say of the game is like, if you jump in as a scav, like you do a scav run and say you just like, oh, you're looking at your weapons real quick and you get shot by another scav or another player, you could be in the game for 5 seconds and then boom, you're dead. And then you got to wait 20 minutes to do another scav run.
See, that's
and
tough.
So it's like, one change I'd like to see would be like, if you get shot right off the bat and you die like within the first 2 minutes of your scav run, sure, keep the 20-minute timer. But if you make it like 10 minutes into a scav run, I think that should cut 10 minutes off your scav timer. If you make it 15 minutes in the game, because most sessions are like a half an hour at most, I think. So if you like make it 10 minutes into the game, it cuts 10 minutes off your scav timer. If you make it 15 minutes into the game, your scav timer for the next run's at 5 minutes. And then if you extract, you make it and you fully extract right away, I still think there's a timer. I would say if you make it and you extract fully, I think you should be able to drop right into another scav run. Part of the problem that they don't want to do that is I think they're worried about it fucking the in-game economy, because if you get a lot of good shit out of your runs, and you can, if you survive every time and you can do multiple runs back to back to back, you could really screw with the in-game economy, which I understand. I get that. But I think, you know, unless you're those big, you know, people who have played the game a lot, well, one, they already have upgrades to their hideouts to reduce their scav timer anyways. Mm-hmm. And then two, you know, I think that's a small portion of the player base that's going to be able to accomplish that. So I don't know how much it would actually screw the in-game economy. But for me, for a brand new player, it's like I had one good scav run where I killed like five other scavs. I got a good amount of equipment and I extracted. I was like, yes. But every game I played since then, I've been running and then I'm like, I think I see someone and then just boom, you get like a shotgun to the face. And you're like, oh, what the? And so it's like, then you got to wait 20 minutes or you play your PMC, which is your main character.
I was about to say, explain the two things?
Yeah. So there's a scav, and the scav is basically no risk, high reward. You drop in as a scav, which is just a random character that you get. Yeah.
And if you
kill other scavs or even other players,
take their stuff
and you loot up. Yeah. You take their stuff and you can extract, then you get all of that stuff essentially for free. There's no risk to playing the scav.
Yeah,
but if you play your PMC, Yeah, exactly. If you play your PMC, which is your technical, your main character, you have to, if you load in without putting weapons on, you will not have weapons when you load in. So anything you load in with on your PMC from your stash, that stuff is, is potentially losable by dying. And so I've had a game where I dropped in as my PMC and I ran for like 10 feet and somebody shot me. Yeah. And I was
so then what Josh was talking about with your scav is, my idea that I was going to talk about. Oh yeah, you get a timer for how many times you can like use your scav. Like you use your scav, you drop in, you do your run. Like he said, it can be quick or it can be long. When you come out, then you have a timer of like, was it 20 minutes or
20
so?
Minutes to start,
20 minutes until you can use another scav run. So then for that 20 minutes, you either decide to do nothing or you go in with your main guy and risk losing some stuff.
So, yeah. So I think making some changes to scav timer would, because if they want to attract new players, I feel like they've got to do something like that.
The game was straight up, you know, you have your one character, you can go in, you can lose shit, you can get shit. But I didn't know when I started watching, I'm like, oh, that's cool. You have like this kind of pre-built set where you go in with generated stuff that's not technically yours and you can come out with good stuff. If you die, you don't lose anything because it's not your main dude. It's just your scav. I'm like, oh, that's cool how they did that. It's a good idea.
Yeah, because if you dropped in every time as your PMC, because the other part, so the other, I didn't want to get too deep in this, but the other part with the PMC is if you drop in and you get hurt. So say even if you drop in, you loot stuff, you make it to the extract, but you're hurt. The game, the minute you extract, you don't heal back up to full right away. You have to
wait. Your guy has to.
You either heal your stuff with medical supplies in your stash, or you wait for your PMC to heal back up. And so that basically, like, if you do a scav run, die instantly, and then do a PMC run and die instantly, you're fucked for like 20 minutes. You've got to sit there for 20 minutes.
So there's also the thing called your hideout. People don't know the game. What's the point of, like, well, I guess without getting too deep into that, what's the point of even doing that? I see you can like unlock and upgrade and add things to your hideout. Like, how does that help you? Does it help you heal quicker?
Helps you heal faster. Part of some of the upgrades gives you like scavs. Like, you don't play any of these, but they're kind of like scavs that'll go out and raid stuff and bring stuff back for you.
Ooh, okay.
So like you can get random loot. You have a shooting range so you can practice guns.
I think you have an upgrade bench so you can upgrade guns.
There's a lot of stuff it's sort of like its own whole other game. It's kind of like one of those, it's very similar to like the Fallout Shelter games where you kind of build, you know, it's one of those 2D like building games where each room has its own little function and they all add to kind of the overall. Yeah, it's parts of it is similar to that.
Okay.
But yeah, upgrades will help you heal faster, help you regenerate hydration faster, help you regenerate energy faster, help your scav timer decrease, all that kind of stuff. So it does help you in game and then when you're actually not raiding as a whole. So it's fun and, you know, because of how unpredictable it is, like there's so many different things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lot of fun in that sense, but yeah, it can get frustrating if you're just getting capped every 2 seconds.
If you lose something ball right away, like I
would be pissed. I haven't lost anything good yet.
A game like that, I feel like I wouldn't play it. I would never go in. Like if I got a baller AR, I'd be really happy. I'd be like, oh, I want to use this AR, but I would never go. I mean, I know you can kind of insure stuff, this and that.
You can insure things.
I still would never go into the game with this AR just because I do not want to, unless I like get to, I assume you get like kind of two of the same things, right? Like I would.
You can loot. Like if you loot multiple ARs, like,
that's the only way I'd go in is if I have a backup. Then I'll go in with this baller ass weapon. But if I only have one of this thing and it's fucking really dope, and I'd be like, I don't care. I'm not gonna go in with it though because I don't want to lose it.
Yeah. So
it's like I'm playing the game, but I'm not playing the game to the max because I'm not using my cool shit because I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's inevitably what's going to happen at the beginning. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be slow until you either play with some friends that are better or you can scav run and get a lot of good shit. So, no, there's a lot to the game. There's so much to the game. And I just got it just because it looked good and it looks fun and I want to try it. I'm just barely scratching the surface of really, because like everything, the weapons are so in depth. Like you can get a ton of different weapons and there's a ton of different upgrades, but you know, there's dust covers, there's upper receivers, there's like, but there's all these different things. You have to make sure the bullet sizes match. And then even sometimes, you know, you can get a 9mm and you think 9mm works for all 9mm weapons, but there's some weapons that have a bigger 9mm cartridge. So it's like there is so much attention to detail in this game that it's just like it. You could play for 1,000 hours and still not have everything mastered. It's crazy. It really is. I mean, but it's interesting. It seems like a lot of fun. It can be very, so far in my experience, it can be very, very aggravating.
Yeah.
And a little disheartening.
It looks like the beginning of the game is just pure frustration and rage, but I assume once you get into it, it gets fun.
Yeah. So a little bit of a veer off the rails on the old Tarkov explanation. Wasn't really planned, but it's hitting right now. I was gonna say it's the current hot shit right now.
Question was how long it'll continue once these drops go off. We'll see what happens though.
That is true. It's something, you know, basically starting on Monday, tomorrow, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. So cool. Well, let's wrap this bitch up.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for listening. We appreciate all the support that everyone's given us. We, you know, the constant, you know, listens, everyone who listens to all of our episodes. Again, like I said, you know, comments or not comment. Well, you can leave us comments too, but
positive, negative reviews, positive, negative. All
exactly.
Helps.
Reviews, ratings on iTunes, on really anywhere that you can leave ratings, Google, all that stuff. That really helps us out. If you guys want to follow us, all our social medias will be in the description of the episode below as well. That's our personal social medias as well as the show's social media pages. So give those a follow. I'm going to try something new. I think I'm going to put timestamps in the description as well for our different segments, you know, where we started talking about different things. So if you read the description and you're interested in any one particular part, you can always check the time description below. Timestamp, yeah. So, other than that, was
that an idea from the book I got you for Christmas? Or
no, actually, it might be in the book. I haven't gotten that far yet, though. So, but other than that, we're gonna wrap this up and call it a day. Again, thank you so much for all the support. We really appreciate everyone who's listening. Hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram, go follow us there. We're pumping out good memes, try to do daily content. I almost said daily content without kind of prefacing it with the fact that we try to do daily content. Weekends kind of stutter a little bit, but usually during the weekdays, we try to keep everything up. But yeah, neither here nor there. Go check out our social medias. Keep listening to the show. We're going to keep bringing you episodes. We're going to really grind our asses off in 2020. Takes. Yeah, all the hot takes. Steaming hot takes.
Steamy.
So yeah, we're really going to put in work in 2020. We're really hoping to make the show the best it can be and just really grow. So, you know, thanks for the support. Tell your friends, tell your family. If you have friends and family members that are gamers and you listen to the show and you really like it, pass that info on to them. Word of mouth really helps us out a lot. And always remember, you can't spell win without W.
W.